Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
We have such a blessing today. Come on now. You know, I'm so blessed. Shane and Peggy, they have been leading our prophetic community, and they're doing such a great job. How many are on the prophetic teams? How many are here? Sprinkle, sprinkle. Okay, wait till next service. You'll see a whole bunch of them too. But I'm just so proud of them and what they're doing. You know, you can just get somebody who can prophesy, and I can just stick a mic, and somebody can just stand up and just prophesy. But it's different than it is to actually form a prophetic community where there's relationship and accountability and training and development. And that's what I really just love here at Summit, is that there's so many different sections and parts of community, from, you know, our worship community, and, you know, there's all different ministries and groups. But these guys are doing an awesome job. Stretch your hands out here today. He's going to bring the word today. We just thank you, Father. Let your power come on him. Holy Spirit, lead and guide him in whatever direction you want it to go. We just thank you, and we just acknowledge your presence, your power, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Daniel and Teresa for giving me this opportunity. What an honor it is to stand at anybody's pulpit. That our, you know, pulpits are very protected, so it's an honor to be up here. And my name is Shane, so hi and welcome to the Summit. Just going to open in prayer real quick. So, Father, I just thank you for this moment, and I thank you for today, and I just ask that you would be here and your presence would fill this place. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you just to have your way and to do what you want to do and touch everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, the funny thing is, in the second service, my granddaughter is going to be dedicated, and there's going to be a huge group of my family here, and it's just a coincidence. It wasn't really planned that I'm going to talk today and my grandbaby's getting dedicated. Okay, so today I want to share with you some cool things. It's the first time doing this, so I don't know if the slides are all going to match, but I'll just talk. And my sermon is titled God Moments and Holy Spirit Encounters. And so I'm going to share some Bible stories and a lot of personal stories. And if you're kind of need a touch from God today, and you just need a directional change, you're in the right place today, because that's what I'm going to talk about, and Holy Spirit's going to help you with that. So we're going to start in the book of Samuel, in the story of Saul. You guys, it's in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase a lot of this stuff here. But if you don't know some of the history of Israel, at this time, in chapter 9, there hadn't been a king yet in Israel. They just had judges. And the people of Israel were clamoring for a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. And so, there we go. Isn't that cool? So if we jump to chapters, 1 Samuel chapter 9, 16, and this is Samuel the prophet, and the Lord says to him, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people Israel." So that's kind of, you see this kind of stuff in the Bible all the time, and when you read it, you just kind of go past it. But the whole backstory here is the really interesting part, and God setting up a God moment for Saul. And so there was I'll just kind of paraphrase a little bit. There was a Benjamite family, a wealthy family, and the father's name was Kish. So we'll call him Daddy Kish. So Daddy Kish had a son named Saul, and here's what the Bible says about Saul. Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land, kind of like Pastor Daniel. No, but I like that setup, because he was the most handsome man, head and shoulders taller than everybody, because that's what a human's idea of a king should look like. Everywhere else in the Bible, God chooses the down and out, the downtrodden, the weird ones, you know. But in this case, he chooses the most handsome guy. Everyone would expect this guy to be the king, right? So here's the story. So Daddy Kish, his donkeys get lost, right? And so
He says to his son, Saul, son, Saul, come here. Let me give you a servant. Go find these donkeys. And so if you read the story, Saul and the servant, they're wandering and they can't find them. They go to one town. They go to another town. They go to four towns. They go to the entire area of Benjamin. Benjamin, maybe, you know, the size of San Diego County. So can you imagine just with your servant trying to find random donkeys on foot all throughout San Diego County? It's like an impossible task, right? And so finally, they're gone so long that Saul and his servant are thinking, oh, man, you know, Daddy Kish is going to be looking for us pretty soon if we can't, you know, communicate with him. So, you know, this is a third world problem, right? How do we communicate back to Daddy? Because we don't have cell phones. We don't have traditional phones. We don't have a post office, right? If it was my son Noah, he'd be texting me, Dad, we're okay. We're still looking for the donkeys. Right? And I would be, okay, son, when should I expect you home? And I would probably get crickets after that. Right? That would be today. But anyway, back then they didn't have that ability. So finally, so remember this scripture where the day before, God told Samuel, hey, I'm sending you a man to anoint as leader of Israel. So here's Saul just wandering, finding donkeys, but God is planning to have him anointed as the king of Israel, and Saul doesn't even know it. So finally, his servant gets this epiphany, and he says, I've just thought of something. And, you know, and I'm wondering, yeah, did you think of it, or did God kind of put that in? Because he says, there's a man of God who lives here in the town that we're looking in. Let's go visit him, and maybe he'll know where the donkeys are at. So that's the setup. God told Samuel, this man's going to be sent to you, anoint him as king. These guys think they're just finding donkeys. They show up, Samuel gets him, and the whole story goes, Saul becomes the first king of Israel. So that is your first God moment. A total setup, seems random, but God set that up for Saul to be the king. Samuel knew it just the day before, but these guys were wandering probably for weeks, yet it was a setup. I just want to, you know, let that sink in. Sometimes you're doing stuff, and you think it's random, but God is maybe setting you up for something great. So my first point is God planned an encounter for Saul probably since the creation of everything. He had that encounter planned. So the interesting thing that Jonathan and Devin are here, my next story here is it's a Jesus culture story. Do you guys know who Jesus culture is? It's a church in Sacramento, and it's a worship band, and a lot of the songs we sing and that are sung throughout the planet are from Jesus culture. And so they used to have a conference in Long Beach every year. It was downtown Long Beach, and my wife and I and our family would go every year. And about the last one they had, 4 years ago or so, maybe five, we met Jonathan there, the guy that was up here with the baby dedication. We kind of just bonded with him, and we met Devin as well, who was the other sharp-dressed guy over here. So what a coincidence, right? Anyway, so we're at this Jesus Culture Conference, and the way it works in downtown Long Beach, at the lunchtime, you just kind of, everybody filters out and finds a place to eat. And so we were with a group of a couple of younger millennial types there, and younger for us. And so we're at a restaurant, and by the exit, there's this paraplegic lady. And she's in, you know, one of those things where it has a little joystick to kind of talk and do stuff. She's really done that, kind of just sitting there. And she had a caretaker. And so we're kind of talking with our group. We said, hey, let's pray for this paraplegic as we're going to leave. And everyone's like, yeah. So the two of the younger men that were with us, they just go and lay hands on her. My son and my daughter get behind them and lay hands on them. And then the table behind us gets up, and they lay hands on them. And then the table gets up. And I sat and counted. There was over 30 people in a chain of people laying hands on each other at this restaurant praying for this paraplegic, probably because they're all from the Jesus culture thing, you know? So they're all praying and going for it, but I kind of stood aside, and I'm just looking at the caretaker. And God just dropped something in my spirit, and I just felt like she was supposed to get married, but she didn't. And I remember just thinking, okay, that's, what do I do with that? But I just, all right, I'm here with Jesus culture. I'm just going to, you know. So I went up to her. I said, you know, I said, sometimes, you know, I hear things from God, and I just want to, is it okay if I share something with you? And I didn't know if she was a Christian or what, you know, who she was. She goes, yeah. And so I said, I just feel that you were supposed to get married, but it didn't happen. And she just starts crying instantly. And she says, it happened last week, right? And so now I'm like, okay, what's next, you know, right? And so what came to me is she was in such hurt and pain. I found out she was a Christian lady. And she just needed to know that God knew what she was going through. And that's kind of, so I told her that. I said, you know what? God revealed this to me because you needed to know that God is with you. God knows what you're going through, and he's going to take care of you. And that's what she needed to hear. So that moment was a Holy Spirit encounter for her and for me. And it probably changed the course of her life, because now instead of being depressed, she knows, okay, God's with me. And she can remember that moment and carry on forward. Yep. So my second point, well, let me read the scripture first. It's Ephesians 1:11. This is the New Living Translation. And it says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. And here's the part I want to emphasize, that after the comma. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's got plans for us all, and he's always setting us up for those God moments and those encounters to make that plan happen. It may not seem like it sometimes, but God's still working behind the scenes. He's making that happen. So the point, God is always at work setting up encounters to fulfill his plans. That's my second point on this. So another story, our family went to Yosemite. This one's probably about 8 years ago. Anybody been to Yosemite before? Okay. When you drive back towards us, you're on either the 99 or the 5, and you're just going forever in a just boring desert drive, right? You're going 80, and you're getting past. People are honking at you for going slow, right? So we're just heading back, and there's probably the car in front of us is maybe a half a mile up. And suddenly, we don't really see what happens, but the truck's not there. It was a truck, and there's this dirt cloud on the side of the road, and, you know, dust and stuff's kicked up. So we're like, oh, my gosh, you know, something happened. So we get there, and we pull over and get out. Peggy and I get out of the car. Other cars behind us start stopping. And about 30 yards from the freeway, just kind of on the dirt area, this truck was upside down. And inside in the driver's seat was a man. And there was another man that was somehow not in the truck. He was out. And by this time, there's like about maybe 8 men there, and we all try to lift this truck, and we try to turn this truck over. And we're talking to the driver that's not responding at all. We can't turn it over at all, and we all realize this guy's not responding. He's not alive. But the passenger was sitting there outside, and he's got some cuts and stuff on him. Peggy comes by this time with a first aid kit, and the man, he's sitting on the ground, and he says, are there any Christians here? And Peggy and I were there, and we got to pray with this guy, and I don't even remember what we prayed, and it doesn't even matter. But I know with the certainty in my heart that what that man needed right then, he got. He needed to know that God was there. He wanted some Christians to pray for him. We were able to step up and pray. It was a God encounter for that guy. And I thought, I should have done a salvation prayer. You know, I kind of kicked myself for I should have done more. But as time has went on, I'm like, no, that guy got what he needed at that moment. He needed a Christian. And we happened to be right behind that guy when that happened. Another God moment encounter. My clock never started. Does anybody have 30 minutes? Teresa's like, no. Okay, so another time, so my mom is a full-time, in the full-time ministry. She's a prophet, and she's been to 60 countries and what have you. About 4 years ago-ish, she was going to minister in Tecate, Mexico. And she calls me on a Friday night. She's supposed to be there on Saturday. And she says, Shane, I've got laryngitis. I can't go. Well, first of all, I was going to go with her just, you know, to help minister and whatever. That's what I do sometimes, you know. And then she said, can you go in my place? And so I talked to Peggy. I'm like, all right, we've never been like the guy, the full-time, you know, the main person, but we'll go, we'll try. And so we're kind of thinking through that night, and there's a family, friends of ours who were pastoring a church, but at this moment they weren't pastoring, so we called them up, and we said, hey, would you go with us? We got to go to Tecate, Mexico, and they're like, yeah, we'll go. So we're like, great. So this is after some new laws had just been passed. Before, you used to be able to come from Mexico with just your driver's license, but now you had to have your passport. And I found out later you can use your birth certificate. But anyway, so we're scrambling to find our passports, and I was like, oh, I hope they're not expired and whatever. We can't find Peggy's. We can only find mine. So we're like, okay, whatever, I'll go with this couple. Their name is Kevin and Lalin. I'll go with Kevin and Lalin, and the three of us will go. So the next morning, I got a call from Kevin. Hey, Shane, my passport's expired. So now me, married to Peggy, is going to go with Lalin, married to Kevin. And I'm just like, this isn't good. You know, there's got to be, something's got to change here. This is just terrible. And fortunately, her son, who was about 23 at the time, he says, I'll go with you guys. So I was like, okay. All right. So we go to Tecate, and we have no plans. We have no idea what we're going to say. We're driving there, and we're just kind of like, we're just going to have to let the Holy Spirit, you know, do his thing, because we're not prepared, really. But we sort of each came up, okay, Lalin was going to tell this story, and I'm going to tell a certain story, which I'm going to share later on in a few minutes here. And so we get there, and it's an all-women's, it's five churches, and it's the women's group from the churches at this gathering, right? There's like one or two men ushers and like a guy in the band or whatever, but it was all women, right? So I'm like, yay. Right? So Lalin starts sharing her story, and the Holy Spirit, I could just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, yes. And then I get up and share my story, and I just continue to sense the Holy Spirit. And so you guys, some people know, you know, Pastor Daniel said we're leading the prophetic community, but at that time, 4 years ago, I mean, I get words for people here and there, but I wasn't like, you know, a prophet, you know, like I'm just going to call 10 people out kind of thing. But that happened at that event. I'm just out there, and I just had a word for this lady, and a word for this lady, and a word for this lady, and a word for, and it was going on and on and on, and the Holy Spirit was just flowing. And I get, so the interpreter, who was my mom's friend, grabs me and starts taking me around to all her friends, right, so I can give them a prophetic word. And I get to this one lady, and I just get a picture of her and her husband, and there's like a wall between them. And so I'm like, yeah, I just kind of see you and your husband and something going on there. And she starts crying. And she says, yeah, my husband's with his mistress in Mexico City right now. And this was even, like, for me, worse than the Jesus culture thing. Because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do right now. You know, I'm not going to even pray that her husband and her get back together. I'm not going down that route, you know. And so I just... I was like, I don't know what to do, God. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? So I just started praying for the lady, and it was just a prayer. But as I thought about that later, it's the same thing I've been saying over and over today. That was a God moment for that lady. Whatever her husband was doing, she needed to know God knew what she was going through. And just that extra word from someone like me gave her that comfort. Okay, God's with me. I'm going to get through this thing. God knows what I'm going through. Another Holy Spirit moment there. Okay. So here's a Bible story. We're all familiar with this one. This is the story of Gideon. You guys, who's heard the story of Gideon? Most of us, we went to church as a kid. It was like, you know, one of the Sunday school things you'd learn about. So this is in Judges 6:12. This whole thing just cracks me up. So in Judges 6:12, there's an angel of the Lord. Now, whenever it says angel of the Lord, usually that means it's actually Jesus before he was Jesus that we know. It says he's sitting under a tree. I thought about that, and I'm like, why would an angel be under a tree? You know, it's not like he needs shade or anything like that, right? And then he sees Gideon, and he says to Gideon, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now, if that was me, I'd be like, whoa, first of all, when did you get there? You know, and then I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, I am a mighty hero, and you're with me. I'd be like, yeah, bring it on, right? Right? But Gideon, he's like, with me, my master? If God is with us, Why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver you from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian. I'm like, okay, here's an angel Lord saying, you know, you're a mighty hero. And instead of like saying, yeah, I'm going to sit there and complain. But must have been pretty dire straits, right? The Midianites were oppressing Israel, and obviously Gideon's like frustrated and not really believing this thing. But, and what's interesting, it says, but God faced him directly. Now, even though it's the angel of the Lord, it says, but God faced him directly. Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? I'd be like, yes. Yes, I'm going to save USA. I'm going to save the United States from these bad guys because you just sent me. Yes, tell me more. But no, Gideon, me, my master, how and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the runt of the litter. Now, who's ever grabbed a kitty from a litter? Aren't you drawn to the runt, right? And everywhere throughout the Bible, with the exception of Saul, this is how God operates. He picks the runt, he picks the downtrodden, the one that doesn't seem like the right fit, and Gideon fit that mold. So then God said to him a third time, I'll be with you. Believe me, you'll defeat Midian as one man. So it took three things from this angel of the Lord to really get to him, right? In Romans 4:17, it talks about what God's words can do. I'm just going to kind of read this. It's in the Amplified Bible, but yeah, it's up there. The second half after the comma again, it says, he who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. In the beginning of Genesis, what did God say? Let there be light. Boom, there's light. Let the waters separate. Boom, they separate. So whatever God says, it's going to happen. So when God says to Gideon, mighty hero, save Israel, it's going to happen. It has to happen. There's no other choice because those words are working. So the third point is, at the right time, God speaks and tells you what you need to hear. There's often where I've given a prophetic word, and other people around me are like, I don't know if that was for that guy. And I'm like, no, I know that's what that person needed to hear right now. It may not be what seems correct, but I know that's what they need to hear. And often God does that. He hits you at the right time when you're going through stuff. Somebody, you might have a God encounter you're not even aware of. It's not always thunder and lightning and, voices from the cloud. Sometimes it's little things. But God's always working on it. There's a, I missed something here. Oh, yeah. Who's ever seen the movie The Matrix? Okay. I love giving movie references. Ever since Sean Bolz says it's okay, I'm like, yeah, all right. All right. So there's a scene in there, Neo is the main guy. And everyone thinks he's the one that's going to rescue humankind, right? But he's going to see what they call the Oracle. And he goes to see the Oracle. And does anybody remember what the Oracle tells him? She says, you're not the one, right? Now, not that God would give you an opposite word, but the point of that, he became the one. But that was what he needed to hear at that moment, right? Because he would have functioned and behaved differently. And so often, again, I'm just kind of reiterating, sometimes God will give you something and it's what you need to hear at that right time. Okay. There's a, when I was, so the day I turned 18, through a series of circumstances, I was on my own. And when you're not prepared for that, it's pretty hard going, just being on your own when, I thought I was going to go to UCLA and had all these great plans. But in my 18th year, so Peggy and I met in high school. We were kind of on the party scene. But in our 18th year, we rededicated our lives to God. And I was in San Diego because my mom had moved to San Diego, so close to 19. I moved in with her, and we went to this church. And I went for prayer afterwards. And there was this girl about my age, so 19-ish or something like that, and she prayed for me. And one of the things she said, I still remember. And it's just a simple word, but she said, God has a special plan for your life. And I, at that time, I'm not knowing what I'm going to do with life. I'm just struggling to even get a job and just figure out what's going to happen with my life. And for this girl to tell me, God has a special plan for your life. I'm like, really? For me? You know? And it changed my thinking. I'm like, God's got a special plan for me. You know, I didn't think he did, but this girl told me that. And I, you know, this is, I'm like 21 now, and I still remember that. So my last point, and I have one more story to tell. It'll be quick, maybe. Is at the right time. If you really look at moments in your life, you will see God in there, even when at the time it didn't seem like it. You'll see circumstances that happened and just events that took place, and you will see that God has been involved in your life, even when you weren't saved. In Romans 8:28, this is the Passion Version. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together. This is Romans 8:28. To fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. God's got that plan and he's got a purpose for all of us. I'm going to leave you with one last story here. And then we'll pray for you. So there was this man named Kurt Weber. He's a German guy. He's like 14. He's World War I is going on at this time, and he decides to join the German military. He becomes a pilot. But he's not a fighter pilot, he's a scout pilot. And he's flying on a scout mission. This is towards the end of World War I. So this is maybe 1917, something like that. He's coming back, and he sees a dogfight taking place between the British and the Germans. His plane's not equipped for that, so he lands on a hillside, and he gets out of his plane to watch. Remember those days, planes go like 60, 70 miles an hour, so you can land on a hillside. So anyway, he's watching, and a man dressed in white comes up to him and says, you know, if you go to the other side of the hill, you can get a better view of this. And he looks over there, he says, I think you're right. He walks to the other side of the hill. And as soon as he gets there, one of the planes gets shot down, crash lands right where he was standing. This man was not a Christian. He was not saved. But this angel saved him. This man migrated to America. His name was Kurt Weber in the 30s during the Depression. He was an engineer at this time, worked for General Motors in Brazil for a while. He ends up working for North American Aviation, and he was one of the principal designers of the P-51 Mustang airplane. Most people agree the P-51 Mustang was the best plane of World War II. He designed the fuselage, and he designed the wings. He was into lift. He designed the fuselage, still not a Christian, because he saw how a trout would swim in the water, and it could dart suddenly, and he designed it like a trout. This man also was a huge part of the Apollo program. And he was a key engineer in the Apollo space program. So this man that got saved with an angel as a pilot in World War I, unsaved, did all these things that helped America in the war efforts. This man had a son eventually. His name was Thomas. Thomas was, as a young kid, had polio and shingles at the same time. His mother, Thomas's mother, had just gotten saved as a Christian, was listening to a radio show. She calls him up, they pray, Thomas gets miraculously healed. Before Thomas was born, Kurt Weber, it wasn't popular to be a German in the 40s and late 30s, he changed his name to Robert Weebe. That's my grandfather. Thomas Weebe, the one who was healed of polio and shingles at the age of 9, he was in such pain, he told me his dad put a 2x4 outside, and he would lay on it on the one spot that didn't have shingles, that wasn't painful. He would sleep on that 2x4 until he got healed miraculously. When I was born with a congenital hip malformation. I was a cripple. I wasn't expected to walk. I was fortunate that my mom and my dad were Christians who believed in healing and had faith for my healing. So my mom did all the things a mom would do. She took me to the doctors, and I was in these crazy contraptions to try to let everything grow naturally. And She said, we'd be at the grocery store and people would see me like, ooh, what's wrong with that kid? Because I had all this weird stuff on. But my father, I was about six months old, my father, Thomas, he decided to go on a fast until I was healed. 7 days into his fast, he's at work and he smells like a perfume smell. So he thinks, oh, maybe, you know, a secretary came by or something. So he gets up and looks around. He doesn't see anything. So he sits back down and he smells it again. And he's like, what's going on here? He gets up, doesn't see anything. Sits back down, and then he hears God ask him, Tom, how long will you fast? And my father said, as long as it takes. And he knew from that moment that I was going to be healed and walk. And not only did I walk, I'm pretty athletic. I played soccer my whole life and ran fast and ran track and stuff like that. So I want to offer to you today, if we could the ministry team up, if you need a refreshing of, you know, something from God, just a refresh, you need a touch, you're down, you're a Gideon, you feel like the world's against you. If you've never known God and you'd like to get to know God, or if you have something that needs to be healed, I'm just going to pray for you first, but you can walk up. Again, if you need that refreshing in your life, if you got something you need healing. Oh, the last scripture I forgot, it's a very important one. It's Ephesians 1:19. I'll paraphrase it. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power was in my Father when he fasted for me. That same power is in me today. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, that same power is in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. All right, so I'm just going to pray for you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, whatever these people need, Lord, meet them where they're at, Lord. Refresh their spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, if it's healing they need, just heal them right now in the name of Jesus. You know what I love about praying? I'm praying, and God's doing the work.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
You pour out your spirit in the midst of a trying fight.